Even so, you as an individual attain to the same status, you act and you do not get bound. Now this again is very important in the context of Arjuna's questions. Sri Krishna asks him to fight and therefore to act. Therefore the question is, does action not necessarily imply some kind of bondage? So here is Sri Krishna's answer, that even if you act, you are free. How can one perform free action? Moksha does not mean negation of action, as very often it is understood by many people. Moksha means to be like the Supreme Lord, who is akartaram kartaram api, who is the doer and yet the non-doer, who acts and yet remains unattached, untouched by the action. It is that condition that the 14th chapter describes. It is called the condition of Trigunatita. The 14th chapter describes all the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas, by means of which the soul gets bound to the prakriti, apara prakriti, lower prakriti, and then by performance of the threefold yoga, karma, jnana and bhakti, you can rise from apara prakriti and enter into para prakriti, and then you attain to mukti, the liberation, but sadharma mukti, a liberation which is so permanent that even when you act, you do not get bound. So that in the very battlefield, no need to run away from battlefield and go into sannyas. In the very battlefield itself, you attain to sannyas and at the same time, you become the real warrior and fight. Now, this description raises some deeper questions. These deeper questions are answered in the 15th chapter. This whole question of bondage and liberation is one of the most subtle subjects in the entire world. There is no subject which is subtler than this question, this subject. How does one get bound? How does one get liberated? Sukshma ti sukshma. It is subtler than the subtle. And this cannot be fully understood unless you know the nature of the Supreme Lord Himself. And therefore the 15th chapter describes once again the Supreme Lord, who has been described already sufficiently earlier also. From 7th chapter to the 12th chapter is a detailed description of the Supreme Lord. Even 13th chapter repeats in brief, in different terms, the nature of the Supreme Lord. But the 15th chapter once again, in different terms, speaks of Supreme Lord as threefold. As Purusha, Supreme Lord is Purusha, who is threefold. The Akshara Purusha, Kshara Purusha and Purushottama. The Supreme Lord is at once inactive, active and that which transcends both and embraces both at the same time. Purushottama. It is only in the context of the Supreme nature of the Lord, who is at once Akshara, Kshara and Parama, paraha purusha, only in that context can we really understand the mystery of the soul, of its entry into the aparaprakriti, of its bondage into the aparaprakriti, and the possibility of its liberation. That is the importance of the 15th chapter. In the rest of this chapter, 16, 17, 18, we have a further elucidation of the nature. By nature we mean aparaprakriti and paraprakriti. This is very necessary because when we begin to understand the process of development from lower to the higher, very important questions arise in our consciousness, in our process and the path. We come across what Sri Krishna calls Asurik Sampati and Devi Sampati, the demoniac powers and qualities and forces, and divine forces. And we have to understand them so that we can distinguish between them very properly. We may not be snared by Asurik Sampati, that even when we enter into them, we recognize them and we know how to avoid them and how we can transcend into Devi Prakriti. In this process, we come across the pursuit of dharma. Therefore, we have a good description of dharma in all process of development. Dharma is one of the most important concepts. Dharma is the law of development of life. So when we make an ascent, there is a development. In this process of development, there is a law which inevitably comes. Therefore, we have to recognize what is dharma. In this pursuit, there is also the question, of shraddha, of faith. This idea of faith is very often misunderstood. We have dealt with this question earlier, but we can repeat by saying that faith does not mean unquestionable belief, as very often it is understood. Shraddha is unproved conviction, not belief, unproved conviction which insists upon pursuit until it is proved and realized. That is Shraddha. It is not merely unaccepted, unquestionable belief. It is, of course, unproved, therefore, as yet not questioned, not unquestionable, but unquestioned as yet. It's not a belief, it's a conviction. And pursuit of this unproved conviction to the extreme point where this conviction is proved and realized. That is the movement of Shraddha. So since there is a question of pursuit, moving from down to the highest level, we have got to understand the fundamental impulse. How do we at all move forward? Why does the whole humanity move forward? We are actually all blind, moving in the world blindly. And yet we are moving forward. It is because of Shraddha, unproved conviction. Each one of us has one kind of unproved conviction. If you go into your deepest being, we shall discover Shraddha in us, by which we are really moving.